Good. Right. So, starting from the very beginning, I know you dropped out of photography school to start DJing initially. What was your first experience producing music, and has your style sort of evolved since then, over the years?
Oh, well, it was art school. Well, no, I didn't drop out of... I graduated high school, which was an art school, and then I went to college just for general education, and it was a community college, and it sucked so much. And, oh my god, it was so shitty. I think after a semester I dropped out when I was hungover, and then I was doing photography at the time, and then I was like, you know what, I don't want to do this. I want to make music, because I felt like it was less saturated. I just didn't have, like, you know, I had my blinders on, thank god, because I think maybe if I'd known how saturated it was, I wouldn't have really tried to go for it as hard as I did, and I think that's what helped a lot. But yeah, when I first started making music, I sucked so much. Like, I made the shittiest, crappiest dubstep and electro and everything that I could try to do. And then, like, it took a year of just straight producing till I finally got, like, my sound, which was, like, the Moomatone stuff that everyone really took. And then from being able to do that, I kind of figured out how to do my own thing and make my style stand out in my music. Where it wasn't just sounding like I was trying to be Rusko or trying to be, you know, Diplo or Dr. P or anyone else that, you know, is a big artist.
So were they sort of your first influences, shall we say, about for your Moomatone sound, like Diplo,
Rusko? The first person that made me want to produce music was Rusko. When I heard his Pronails remix for Kid Nails, or for Kid Sister, Pronails, Kid Sister, whatever the fuck remix he did, that the sound design on that was just insane. And then he did the Kid Cudi remix, and then Woo Boost, that was like the biggest song in the U.S. Yeah, like when this guy DJ Am, who died, when Rusko was just like really getting his start in the U.S., I think he helped a lot by playing his music in like top 40 clubs, and people were like very weirded out by it, but like he made it work really well because he put vocals on top of it, and you know, but Rusko was definitely the first person that I was just like, all right, cool, this is what I want to do, and then I just tried emulating his style so much, and then Munchie was the person that I think I kind of like pulled me out of that and was like, oh man, because I found his SoundCloud page. I was like, oh my god, Moomatone's so dope. I don't even know what tempo it's at, so I'm gonna try to make it. And I found I was 108, and then just went on from there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I mean, you're saying that you're trying to make as much music as you could to begin with. Yeah. Would you say that you prefer like remixing tracks or making your own original stuff?
At the beginning, I loved remixing at first a lot. I still do. I think that's mainly how I got my name out there, was just getting the high amount of remixes that I would do. I would just take anything. Like, I did Keto remix, everything that Mad Decent kind of put in front of me. I was like, yeah, dude, I'll remix it, whatever. And I just did it. And then that led to like a Chasing Status one and a Sindin one. And a lot of the stuff that really, like, I think got my name out there over here in the UK. The Tala T one, I think, was like the best remix that I did, because Zane Lowe put it as the hottest, I think it was whatever, hottest track of the day or something for him.
Yeah.
Oh, hottest record in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. For the week or whatever. Yeah.
In the world of the UK.
Of that week.
So, Dylan, what would you say your future ambitions are in your career as a DJ and a producer?
To die and come back as a leotard.
Really? That sounds pretty intense. How do you intend on doing that?
I don't know. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to get put into ashes, and then I'll be sprinkled into a leotard factory, and then some girl will wear me, and that'll be the life.
Anybody?
Anyone in particular? Who would you like to be worn by?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. Well, you know. Yeah. Fair enough.
Going back to your remixes and stuff, I know one of the first things that I listened to that you'd made is a remix of Lassitude by DJ Fresh.
Yes.
That's one of my favourite songs that you've remixed, actually, to be fair. And I've heard that you used to, listen to a lot of drum and bass in the past. Are you still a big fan of that? Because obviously it's
massive. I had no idea what I was listening to. Yeah. I would just go on Kazam and find, like, I don't even remember what I would search for, but somehow I found all this weird drum and bass that I don't even think had a name. It was like 2A6B, like some weird internet code, you know? So I don't even remember what I was listening to. I do remember that Dillinja Twisted Out was like the main one that I listened to when I was doing graffiti in LA and like running around. Yeah, I still listen to drum and bass. I don't think I'll ever make it because the rules about making it are way too intense in terms of like how the production style has to be. So I'd just rather like let people who are really good at it make it, and I'll just like be like, that's fucking awesome. It's dope. Sounds good.
You're saying that you went on to Kazam and SoundCloud. Yes. That's how you found a lot of people. What do you think about the fact that SoundCloud at least is sort of collapsing under its own weight, and the fact that it's going to start charging users and that kind of thing?
SoundCloud could suck my dick. Their app is so shitty. It really is. It's the worst app ever. And I think all the people that use SoundCloud like complain about it, and they do nothing about it. They don't even ask any artists like, yo, how can we make this better? Like, what do you want to see as features? And then it's so stupid that people can't put up mixes or remixes because of copyright content. It's like, that was the cool place where you could just do whatever you want, and you know, it's not like anyone was making money off of putting out free remixes of anything. It's just trying to share music. So I think it's really shitty.
Sorry, would you say that's kind of like a critical factor, that like the producer feedback thing? Do you think that would
That was so good. That was the best way to like just have a cool community that didn't give a fuck about anything. And now it's like, oh, fuck, I can't put up anything because it's going to get taken down immediately.
Yeah.
Like, how are we supposed to be a creative artist community when there's no platform to share like that anymore? Where it's, like, just controlled by major labels.
Yeah. So, Dylan, who is your favorite artist, your sort of favorite up-and-comer that most people won't have heard of?
This guy, Drezzo. He is from L.A., and he's making all this, like, really cool... I wouldn't say it's, like, garagey. It's more, like, really weird... techno, like deep techno stuff. But I everything he's been sending me has been like on fire. He recently sent me this Amelia remix that he did of Lil Wayne, and it is so fucking good. I'm probably gonna play it tonight. It's so dope.
We look forward to it.
Yeah, when you hear it, you'll be like, okay, I remember this.
Probably never make it on SoundCloud.
It's not gonna make it on SoundCloud. Yeah, Lil Wayne will be angry.
So talking about new and upcoming DJs and stuff, would you ever consider doing collaborations with that person? And also, are there any people that you are looking to collaborate with in the future?
Yes.
I've already talked to him about doing a collaboration with him. And then, in the future, who else? I don't know. I'm just trying to finish all my own stuff right now. And then I'm working with Kygo. We already finished one song, and we're trying to finish another one now. And then I'm trying to do a remix for him. And then working on a song with Galantis.
There's some of the stuff on your to-do list.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. I haven't even been able to start working. Like, the Mumatone EP is the closest one to being done. That one's going to be awesome. Yeah. I worked with Skrillex. I worked with myself. That was pretty cool.
Who'd have thought?
Doing one with Calvin Harris. He just did the progression that I'm putting into one of the songs. What's another one on there? And then Bro Safari.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. How has England been treating you so far?
It's good. I'm really tired. I haven't had this bad of jet lag. I don't even know what time zone I'm on, because I keep waking up at 7 and then staying up until 5 and then sleeping until right now. I just woke up for this.
Standard shooting pattern.
Yeah, right? And then now I have to go eat and then play a show and then probably go to sleep again and then do that all over and then finally get a day off.
So would you ever consider doing like a UK or Europe tour on the same scale as your US tours?
Yeah, I want to. I just need to work the areas in the UK a little bit more, just because I haven't been back here in a long time, because the whole thing that happened with EDC where they canceled the Saturday, I think they had a big radius clause, so when it canceled, it kind of fucked me over with building more presence of my name in the market. But it's hard, like my name does well in the UK and other places, but like in Amsterdam, I'm still at like, you know, only 800 club, you know, and to bring a full scale production, because you guys fucking tax the shit out of everybody, so I don't know what.
That's
yeah, I couldn't even bring merch because it was so expensive. like it wouldn't make sense for me money wise to bring shirts. I would actually lose money. But thank you for buying it from, because I know the fucking shipping costs here are really expensive. I think it's more than the shirts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sucks. What the fuck?
But I suppose you've already answered this to a certain extent. But I was going to ask, do you think it's getting more and more difficult to get into the sort of producing scene currently, given the closing grip of websites like SoundCloud?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit harder to get your music heard by people. But I mean, good music will always be heard. So we'll figure out. I mean, you know, some other SoundCloud type of thing is going to come up, and then we'll all start using that. So.
Fingers crossed.
And I mean, I think we're pretty much out of time. But just to close, what would you say is the weirdest thing that you've ever seen at one of your gigs?
Oh man, 14-year-olds.
Generally,
that's no further question.
In Brighton, I didn't know it was 14 plus, and then I found out.
Right,
yeah, it's 14 plus here. So really? When I found out. In Brighton, I was like, oh my god, it's so weird.
Going crazy,
you know?
On the limit.
Yeah.
English 14-year-olds are very different to American 14.
Yeah, but it's still really weird to be like, hey, you know, I need to see all the girls shaking their ass when I'm playing like one of my Moomintone songs that's new, and it's like, well, I'm asking 14. Oh, man, this is a weird part of my life right now.
If I even glance, I might be arrested.
Yeah, exactly. I just stare down when I say that.
Look at me in the eyes.
Well, actually, I have a better one than that. It wasn't at one of my shows. This girl came up to me. I was at some party in LA, and this girl came up to me and was like, she whispered in my ear, like, you can do anything you want to me tonight if you wanted to. Like, I'll go anywhere with you, but not really. But if you wanted to, we can go. I'm like, no, I'm good. She wasn't my type, but it was really funny because she like whispered it and then was like, I'm not serious, but I am serious. If you're serious, but I'm not serious, so you're serious? So I'm serious.
Just
where to go, yeah.
Just in case, you know.
Exactly.
But, yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you, man.